I want to start this morning by introducing you to what I believe are two of life's most important questions. First is this: what do you believe about Jesus, and why do you believe that? I truly do think that these are two of the most important questions that we could answer in this life. What do you believe about Jesus, and why do you believe that? So my wife, Ashley, and I, when she became pregnant with our first and oldest daughter, Kendall, I developed what I believed was the perfect parenting plan. All right, remember, not yet a parent, and I thought, this is the way to go. What I want to do is I want to raise my children as an unreached, unengaged people group, a UUPG, unreached, unengaged people group. Maybe you've heard of this, maybe you haven't. I want you to say it with me, UUPG. Ready? UUPG, unreached, unengaged people group. These are a kind of people, and they still exist in the world today, that have never heard the name of Jesus. They've never heard the story of the good news of the gospel. And they've never heard the story of God's story, the Bible, right? These people still exist in the world. So I wanted to raise my children as a UUPG, and then just at the right time and at the right age, just smack them with the gospel, and it would actually be news in their life, right? It would be something they had never heard before. Like, these people really do exist. In fact, these are the kinds of people, UUPGs, that Kevin and Lauren Glenn have been sent out of our church as missionaries to Southeast Asia to go and to live among. I want you to see a picture of the Glens. We've sent them out from Brazos Point. They're in Southeast Asia. They live in villages among people that are truly UUPG, unreached, unengaged, never heard, because they've not been connected with. But these peoples won't be UUPGs forever, because they have gone to take the gospel to them in their own languages. So why would I, as a devoted follower of Jesus and a pastor, want to raise my children as a UUPG? Why is that? It's because as a new parent, I was terrified at thinking how my daughters would answer life's two most important questions. What do you believe about Jesus, and why do you believe that? I was terrified that if they grew up in a home that was filled and saturated with church and with the Bible, that it would not be news to them, much less good news, that Jesus had come. I was terrified that they wouldn't know how to answer these questions. If someone were to ask them, what do you believe about Jesus, that their response would be, I guess what my parents have always told me? Well, why do you believe that? I guess because it's all that I've ever known. See, I was terrified because people that have that kind of faith walk away from that kind of faith, right? You go to a college class and you hear a hard lecture and you walk away. You experience some circumstances in life which are really hard and difficult. You walk away. Wrong people, wrong friends, wrong choices, wrong spouse. Walk away. People that have that kind of faith walk away from that kind of faith. Pastor Andy Stanley says this: the reason that people are easily talked out of Christianity is because they were never truly talked into it in the first place. Let me give that to you one more time. The reason why people are easily talked out of Christianity is because they weren't talked into it in the first place. This is what Andy Stanley is saying. He's basically saying that their belief was so superficial, so childish, not childlike, there's a difference, so superficial and childish that it had no foundation. It didn't have a solid what and why, good solid answers to these two important questions. And after all, I truly do believe that these are some of the most important questions that we could ever answer. And they're too important for us to walk away from. Now, before I continue on this morning, I do want to give you a little bit of a side note. We did not end up raising our children as an unreached, unengaged people group. My wife's wisdom won the day. We pray with them. We've taught them the Bible. We've led them to Jesus. They've been baptized. All those things, you know. No UUPG at my house. But I do want to be honest with you this morning that I am terrified that some of you have this kind of faith, that some of you don't have the solid foundation of the what and the why, that you have the kind of faith that's easy to walk away from. As one of your pastors, that's of great concern to me. Like, how do you answer these questions? What do you believe about Jesus, and why do you believe that? Somebody asks you, I guess I just believe what I was told to believe. No, I know. I believe what my grandma believed. And let me tell you, she was a good woman. I guess basically what I believe is what my whole community believes. No, I was raised in church. I went a lot. In fact, I had pretty close to perfect attendance. Why do I believe it? I don't know. I guess I've just never really heard anything different. And y'all, those aren't good answers. Those aren't good answers to life's two most important questions, but there are good answers. There are solid answers. And that is why today we're beginning this journey following Jesus through the Gospel of John. That's why we are engaging in this. It's looking to the Gospel of John because we want to know the real Jesus so that we can have confidence in believing the real Jesus. Real confidence in the real Christ. So if you would turn with me in your Bibles to John chapter 20, verse 30, and let's begin this journey there. John 20, verse 30. We're going to look at verses 30 and 31. If you don't have a Bible, it's okay. We'll put the words up on the screen. You can follow along as I teach. Also, I'd encourage you to use the Brazos Point Fellowship app. It's a great tool to guide you through the message and through the scriptures. But here's the deal. If you don't have a Bible, we would love to send you home with a free copy out of our Welcome Center this morning. Go by before you leave this building and get a copy so that you can consume John with us and walk through John as we journey with Jesus. John chapter 20, verse 30 and 31. Jesus performed many other signs, and John uses this word signs almost synonymously with miracles. Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these that John chose to include, these seven signs that he chose to build his gospel message around, these are written that you may believe. Why? That you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah. That word Messiah is the same word as the Christ. The Messiah or the Christ is the chosen one of God that God had promised to the fathers of Israel that he would send as a deliverer to deliver his people. They expected a physical deliverer to deliver them from the oppression of Rome, but he sent a different kind of Messiah, this Jesus, the Son of God. That you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Christ, but that you also may believe that he is the Son of God, that he himself is God, and that by believing that you might have life in his name. So why do I start in John 20, verses 30 and 31? It's because these very verses give us the Apostle John's thesis. Right? Like this is his point and his purpose in writing this gospel that you may believe. And as you think about this, I want you to recognize that this John was a real and historical person. And I think that video that we watched just a moment ago beautifully helps us to conceive this reality that these people were real historical folks that walked this earth and they walked with Jesus. John was an eyewitness and an ear witness of Jesus. He saw Jesus do these signs and miracles with his own eyes. He heard Jesus preach these messages that were filled with grace and truth, and they pierced the heart in ways that only God could do. John saw and heard more than what this gospel contains. And if everything Jesus said and did was written down, well, then I suppose that even the whole world would not have room for the books that would be written. John actually said that, John 21, 25. But these that John did write down, these were written for a purpose and with a point. Why? That you may believe. Literally, you, that you may believe, and that by believing that you may have life. So here's John's point, y'all. It's that there is great evidence for our faith. There is great evidence for the things that we believe. And I'm afraid that people don't know that. I'm afraid that some of you don't know that, and you think that it really does have to be this childish kind of faith, not childlike, but childish kind of faith, that it can't involve reason, and it can't involve this understanding of history, that there isn't this evidence. You need to know what John is telling us, that we can believe because these eye and ear witnesses experienced these very things that proved the identity of Christ. See, I'm afraid that Andy Stanley is right. That the reason why people are talked out of Christianity is because they weren't truly talked into it in the first place. But to all of that, the Apostle John would say this, no, there are good answers. They are good answers to life's two most important questions. What do you believe about Jesus and why? And so turn backwards in your Bible with me to John 1:1. And let's begin our journey at the beginning. Let's journey with John as he journeyed with the real Jesus. John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. And what verses 1 through 3 begin to do is they answer the question for us, who is Jesus? Right? Who is Jesus? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Who is this Jesus? And John captures this, that we may believe. And what we see here is that before David was the king of Israel, before Moses was the deliverer that led God's people out of slavery, before Father Abraham was the chosen one of God that had the covenant promises, before Adam and Eve were the first people that were created bearing the very image of God to bring him glory, before David, before Moses, before Abraham, before Adam and Eve, Jesus was. Because he was, and he is, and he always will be, because Jesus is God. It's what John claims in John 1:1, but this isn't John's claim. This is Jesus' claim. John just recorded it for us. Jesus claims that he is co-equal with God the Father and God the Holy Spirit. They exist in the Trinity, right? The three in one, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, because Jesus is God the Son. And God the Son was before time even began. He's eternally pre-existent. And he was present and active in the beginning and before the beginning. And Jesus was present and active in creation. And what John helps us to see is this, that Jesus is God. That he is God that was born. And that in that birth, that he is God revealed to us, for us. That's a concept because of Christmas that we're somewhat familiar with. But I want you to think through this. Jesus was born. The eternally preexistent one was born. The creator of all things stepped into the creation. Jesus was born a human baby from the line of King David to be the deliverer that was greater than Moses. Moses just delivered the people out of their physical slavery and bondage. Jesus came as the Messiah to deliver people from their spiritual slavery and bondage. Jesus was born as the son of Father Abraham, who would fulfill the covenant promises of God and be a blessing to all nations. And Jesus was born to redeem that which Adam and Eve began in the garden when the image of God in us was marred because of the introduction of sin. Jesus came to redeem all of that. And that's what we have when the Word was made flesh. The Word is God revealed to us, for us. And the Word made flesh reveals God perfectly. Absolute perfection. Jesus was the Word revealed perfectly to John, and to Matthew, and to Peter, and to Andrew, and to Mary of Magdala, and to Mary, the mother of Jesus. Jesus is the perfect revelation of the heart and the mind and the will of God. Do you believe that about Jesus? And why? Why do you believe that? Well, John wrote his gospel that you may believe, that you today may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, that he is the Christ, that he is the promised one of God sent to save and to deliver people, not from physical bondage, but from spiritual bondage, to set us free from the captivity of sin and to let us live in freedom as reborn, spiritually born again children of God. Because Jesus is the Son of God. And John wrote this, that you may believe that Jesus is God in the flesh, that he is the eternally preexistent one, that he always was, he always is, and he always will be, and that by believing these truths that you may have life, that you may have life in his name. And so we go back to John 1:4. In him, in Jesus, was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. What you see is that John just doesn't tell us who Jesus is. He also tells us why Jesus came and what he came for. And Jesus came to deliver all people, not just Jews and those who follow Judaism, not just his first century followers, not just the religious and the righteous, but Jesus came to deliver all people, common people, sinful people, broken people, people like you and me, people. That's who he came for. Jesus came to deliver you and me from death and darkness into light and life. That's what he came for. That's what John says. And so do you believe that that's what Jesus came to do? And why? Why do you believe that? Well, here's my prayer. I pray that as we follow Jesus through the Gospel of John, that you will journey with us week by week. And that as we go and discover Jesus in the Gospel of John, that you will see his glory, that you will experience his grace, and that your heart will be open to his truth. I hope that you will experience this with us, and not just on Sundays, because there's so much more that's going on here than just what we do on Sunday morning, right? That you will also experience this with us in your small groups as we gather in circles, in homes, right? We discuss these messages, but it's so much more than just discussing a message. This format is limited to where you have to listen to me talk and you don't get to ask questions. You don't get to feedback. You don't get to share your own understanding and experience. But a small group is different. In a small group, you get to listen and you get to talk. You get to ask questions and discover together. And we'll walk through this book of John and journey through that together in our small groups, but not just on Sundays and not just in small groups. We also want to ask you if you'll journey with us through John on your own. Will you walk through this Gospel of John and consume it for yourself as a student of the Bible? And y'all, we want to guide you. We want to help you in that. We want to bring you some resources for that. If you'll go immediately after the service to the GuideMarks Resource Center, we've got a page of resources, both video and books, commentaries and studies that will help you as you walk through John to understand what's going on in the Gospel of John. That very same list, you can capture it by going to that QR code on the seat back in front of you. Just scan your camera over it and go to the very bottom of those links, and you'll find links to all of these different resources that we've selected as a guide through the book of John. But we want you to walk through it with us on your own. We want to call you to read it and to study it and to memorize it. I would encourage you today to focus in on John 1:14. That the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. Commit that to memory and meditate on that and think about that. And also pray through the Gospel of John as you read it. And let's grow in knowledge and application of it. Going back to that G guide mark last week, let's be good students of the Bible so that we can grow and so that we can not just know the Word of God, but so that we can do the Word of God. We want you to consume John's Gospel with us so that you may believe. And that's my prayer. My prayer is that those who have not been born again, to use John's words, that those who have not become children of God, my prayer is that you would believe and that you would find life, that you would be moved from death to life, that you would be moved from darkness to light by the work of God in you. But my prayer is also for Jesus' followers. For us as the followers of Christ, that you would believe with confidence, that you would look into the evidence, that you would build a solid foundation of what and why, that you would be strengthened by that evidence and understand that there is good historical reason, eye and ear witnesses that verify what we believe and that we are not foolish or childish in our beliefs, but that you would be strengthened in what you believe. See, my prayer is that as we journey together with Jesus through the Gospel of John, that God would be revealed to us week by week by week. That God would be revealed to us in the perfect revelation of who Jesus Christ is. And my prayer is that none would walk away. That none would walk away. See, ultimately, what I pray for you is what I pray for my own daughters, that you may believe and live in Jesus' name, knowing what you believe and why you believe it. And today, we have an opportunity as a family to declare what we believe in this worshipful act called the Lord's Supper. It's actually a command for us as followers of Christ to experience the Lord's Supper together as an act of worship and an act of remembrance for what Jesus has done for us, not just in his birth, not just in his life, but in his death on the cross and in his resurrection. What we're going to do is in a few moments, the band is going to come back and they're going to lead us in a final song. And during that song, our invitation is for all Christ followers in the room, you do not have to be a member of this church, just a member of the body of Christ because you're a follower of Jesus. We're going to invite you to come and to take these elements of the Lord's Supper. We want you to take the bread, which is a representation of the body of Christ, which was broken for you on that cruel Roman cross as a sacrifice. Jesus, taking our place, served as a substitute. He didn't deserve to die the death that he died. He got there and he stepped up on the cross willingly as a substitute for us, taking on your punishment and my punishment so that we could experience the forgiveness of sins. The bread represents the broken body of Jesus on the cross. And then we take the cup, and the cup is a representation of the blood of Christ, which was spilled out on that cross in his crucifixion. The blood of Christ shed for us, because it's always the way that God works and redeems sin. It's through blood offering, through blood sacrifice. But here's the deal. This sacrifice, the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross, is unique because it's the once and for all. There is no need for more sacrifice to be made. Jesus has done more than enough for us when he took our place on that cross. And so as we take the bread and we take the cup, the representation of the broken body of Christ and the shed blood of Christ, we do this declaring what we believe. If you do not believe it, do not receive it. But if you do believe it, you receive it with confidence and with faith and with deep-seated belief in the dead, buried, and resurrected Christ. When the band comes in a few moments, what we'll have you do is we'll have you exit on the left, come up to the stations in the front, and then you'll return back to your seats on the right-hand side. Lord's Supper servers, if you would, come now and prepare to serve the church the elements of the Lord's Supper. And church, in a few moments, as you come, after I pray, what I want you to do is I want you to take the elements and return to your seat and then lead yourself to take them on your own. You can do this with those you came with. You can do this as a family, or you can do this by yourself. But prayerfully reflect on who Jesus is, what you believe, and why you believe that. And then when you've prayed and when you've prepared and your heart is ready, then you take these as an act of worship and an act of remembrance of what Jesus Christ has done for you. You take these elements. And as you do, you declare that Jesus is the Messiah, that he is the Christ, that he is your King, and that he has delivered you from sin and from death. And as you do, as you take these elements of the Lord's Supper, you celebrate and celebrate that in Jesus' death, we have found life, eternal life. Let me pray for us. Father God, we believe that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. God, we believe that Jesus is the resurrection, and that because of his resurrection, we have life. God, we believe in the crucifixion. We believe that because Jesus was sacrificed on the cross as a substitute for us, that our sins can be completely forgiven, that if we are in Christ, that they are completely forgiven, and that we are the ones that have been set free and made new as children of God. We believe this. And God, it is our heart's desire to declare this today with confidence. It is our privilege to declare this today as a worship-filled act as we communicate that we are Christ followers. Jesus, we receive all that you have for us and all that you've done for us. We declare that your grace is sufficient and that in you we have more than everything that we need for life and salvation. God, I pray that you would prepare the hearts of your people, Holy Spirit. I pray that you would do what only you could do and that you would move in our presence, that you would move in power, that we would experience your glory and that you would allow us to engage in this act of worship as a moment of remembrance, but as a declaration that solidifies in our hearts the beliefs that our lives are built upon. And I pray over my church. I pray over my family. I pray over these friends. I pray over my brothers and sisters that you would plant their feet firmly in the person and work of Jesus Christ and that on the rock that is Jesus, that they would not be shaken, but that our lives would be firmly, firmly found in the grace and truth of Christ. This is my prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.